From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell, opening the hour with an episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, the second detective radio series to star Dick Powell, who was best known as a Hollywood song and dance man on the big screen. This broadcast, episode 44 in the series, was the first episode that I ever heard of Richard Diamond. From March 5th of 1950 on NBC, it's the Lewis Spence case.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Mr. Diamond, the reason you're here is because I want someone to talk to the mayor. I don't know whether it was explained to you or not, but unless his honor has done away with himself by noon, a lot of people are going to get hurt.
Including yourself.
Oh, that doesn't really matter. You see, in making my escape, a guard attempted to stop me. I had to kill him.
Here's another exciting half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, there's no corpse like an old corpse.
Oh, Rick, that's awful.
Yeah, but what am I going to do? I can't be witty and handsome at the same time.
Well, don't be greedy. Just concentrate on one of them.
Oh, you're pretty nothing today.
Why don't you come on over and we'll both try and improve?
Shame on you. You know I've got to work.
Oh, have you got a client?
Well, not yet, but I've set bear traps all the way down the hall.
Well, now that's silly. How can you be sure you'll catch a client?
Well, I can't be, but, oh, I get so lonesome up here with no one to talk to. It's fun setting broken legs.
Oh, you're impossible.
Diamond!
Oh, my gosh.
What's wrong, Rick?
Those traps. I think I've caught something terrible.
Hmm?
Diamond, I gotta talk to you.
Who is it, Rick?
Sergeant Otis. Says he's gotta talk to me, but I'll be darned if I'll teach him how.
Oh, say hello for me.
Helen says hello, Otis.
Tell her hello, then get off the phone. This is serious.
Hey, what's with you? Somebody steal your catnip?
Can't you stop being funny, Shamus? I mean it. This is serious.
Helen, I'll call you back.
Why, something wrong?
Well, Otis looks worried, and he's making sense for the first time in 11 years.
Oh, well, call me later and tell me about it. Bye.
Bye. Now, Sergeant, what's on your pretty
mind? I want you to come down to the station with me in a hurry.
Of course, you'll think this is a silly question, but why?
You remember Lewis Spence?
Lewis Spence?
About 4 years ago. Caught him running around sticking dynamite under the homes of some of our city officials.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Socialistic nut. Put him away, didn't they?
Yeah, crazy as they come. Well, he's out.
What do you mean he's out? If they cured his head, he'd still face a lot of years up the river.
Oh, he ain't cured. Not a bit he ain't cured.
You mean he busted out?
Yesterday. Now, do me a favor and come on down to the station.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute and take it easy. What's going down to the station got to do with Lewis Spence?
He's down there with the lieutenant.
Well, great. Put them both in fancy jackets and send them home.
We can't. He walked in 20 minutes ago and asked to see the lieutenant. I didn't recognize him, so I let him in. Now we can't get him out.
Well, why the devil can't you?
He won't let us in, and he won't let the lieutenant out. He's sitting there holding a big bomb, and it's ready to go off.
Well, it looks like a convention.
Everyone's trying to think of something to
well,
do.
Why is Spence doing this? What's he going to do, just sit in there?
You'll really get a boot out of this, Shamus. If the mayor don't jump off the top of the city hall by noon, Spence blows up the whole 5th precinct.
What?
That's right.
Hey, Otis, get Diamond in there. It's 11 o'clock.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Rick.
What do you mean, get me in there?
Didn't you tell him, Otis?
No, I ain't had time.
Well, come on, come on. Why me? What do you want me in there for?
Spence wants someone Levinson can give direction to. He says no cop. Levinson buzzed out and told us to get hold of you.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Talk to the lieutenant on the intercom. Spence won't know who's walking through the door and maybe blow the whole joint up.
Otis, you amaze me.
Oh, I ain't so smart as Spence's idea. Come on. Here. Go ahead.
Walt?
Rick?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Diamond's outside now.
Okay. Tell him to come in. But just him. Anyone else?
Okay, okay. Rick, come on in, but no one else.
Right. Otis, stick right here. I may want to talk to you.
Sure. Diamond.
Yeah?
I'm nothing.
You're so right.
Hello, Rick.
Walt?
This is Mr. Lou Spence, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Mr. Diamond?
What's the matter, Spence? You want an early 4th of July?
Rick. You think I'm kidding, Mr. Diamond? You think I'm not serious about this thing?
Is that the bomb?
Right here in my lap.
He's got it rigged so it goes off the minute he relaxes his hand.
You see, I thought maybe the police would want to take it away from me. If you shoot me, try to knock me out, well, it goes off.
Then you won't mind if I take a look, huh?
Rick, please.
Stay right where you are, and I'll stay over here.
Just as you say, Mr. Spence.
Mr. Diamond, the reason you're here is because I want someone to talk to the mayor. I don't know whether it was explained to you or not, but unless his honor has done away with himself by noon, a lot of people are going to get hurt.
Including yourself.
Oh, that doesn't really matter. You see, in making my escape, a guard attempted to stop me. I had to kill him.
He split his head open with a crowbar.
That's right.
Oh, mind if I sit down?
Not at all. But it's 4 minutes after 11. I hope you don't plan on staying too long.
Cigarette?
No, thank you.
You look like a pretty reasonable guy, Spence.
Well, thank you. It's too bad Lieutenant Levinson didn't think so when they arrested me. Now I'm going to have to show him I'm not as insane as he thought I was.
Oh, well, you'll have to excuse that, Spence. Walt thinks everybody's a little, well, you know, even me.
That's very interesting.
Oh, and with good reason. Ever take a look at his sergeant?
Mr. Diamond, when the lieutenant arrested me, I was putting an explosive under the mayor's house. He stopped me in my first attempt to rid the community of a political Judas. But now, as you see, I have a second chance.
You really think the mayor's going to jump off the city hall?
He better. And by 12 o'clock. By the way, you have 55 minutes.
Now, look, Spence,
Forget it, Mr. Diamond. I know just what you're thinking. How to get me without the bomb going off. You'll never make it. It's too well thought out. I've planned this for 4 years.
In case you're wondering how much dynamite he's got, Rick.
Oh, Mr. Diamond needs convincing. Well, under this overcoat, Mr. Diamond, are some 100 sticks.
Does the mayor know about it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to talk to him, huh?
I don't care whether you talk to him or not. I just want you to be there when he jumps.
Swell.
And just because you come back and tell me he's jumped, that isn't enough. I want his body in this room.
Walt, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, Rick. Just get out of here. I'm sorry I dragged you over, but I needed time.
You still do. It's 54 minutes to 12.
Clear the building, Rick.
Yes, do that, Mr. Diamond. I think the lieutenant is going to make a hero of himself.
Look, Spence, I've got till 12 o'clock, haven't I?
Unless someone tries to get me.
Oh, God. Well, then sit tight, Walt, and give me till 12.
Okay, Rick.
I hope you spend the time wisely. I'm sure you'd rather see the mayor die than your best friend.
Oh, Spence, if you forget about this, they'll probably just put you
Goodbye,
back...
Goodbye, Mr. Diamond. 53 minutes.
Okay. Walt?
Go ahead, Rick. Like you said, 53 minutes.
Goodbye, Mr. Diamond. Come back soon.
Otis.
Yeah? What's going to happen?
Clear the building.
Well, what about it, Rick?
Lieutenant wants the building cleared.
Okay. Come on, you guys. Levinson says clear the building, so we'll clear the building. Good luck, Rick.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, what do we do?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It's 10 minutes after 11. In another 50 minutes, this whole building is going to get blown higher than a kite.
Okay, do something.
Huh?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I...
See, Otis, you're in just as tough a spot as I am.
Yeah, but you're smarter than I am. You can usually come up with something.
Well, usually my problems are a puzzle, Otis. Spencer's a problem and a puzzle. I don't know about guys like him.
Well, for Pete's sake, who does?
Well, that's an idea.
Huh?
Stay here and keep close to the intercom. Don't let the lieutenant get any crazy ideas.
Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going? You're acting screwy.
Well, Otis, I'm going to go see someone who takes care of people who act screwy sometimes. Well, that's the story, George. You're a psychiatrist. What do I do now?
Well, we solved your problem with that little blonde dancer in Flatbush. Maybe we can do something about this.
Mm.
Of course, she didn't have 100 sticks of dynamite.
Oh, she didn't, huh? What do you think I talked about for 6 weeks on that couch over there? Look, George, this isn't anything like that. This is a real mess.
Now, Rick, take it easy. It's only a mess because you're used to working with something that has a pattern. Maybe not at first, but you know there's one there and you set out and find it. But with Spence, you feel there's no pattern.
Oh, there's a pattern, George. Just wait for 38 minutes, then duck.
There's no possible way to get the bomb away from him without it going off?
Not the way he tells it. He only has to relax his hand.
Mm, that's the way he tells it.
Well, I'm not going to take the chance and call him a liar. If I only knew for sure just how that bomb worked, I could reason with him.
Well, before you can reason with him, you've got to know something about him. And what do you know about Lewis Spence?
Arrested a couple of years ago for planting dynamite under the homes of some of our more prominent city officials. Found insane, sent to the state asylum, killed a guard, broke out, turned himself into a human bomb, and took a seat in the 5th Precinct Police Station.
That's all?
Well, isn't that enough?
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick. I know Dr. Carroll at the state asylum. Suppose we give him a call and see what we can find out.
You think it'll help?
I don't know. It might. Operator, this is an emergency. This is Dr. George Thacker, and I want to speak to Dr. Robert Carroll at the State Asylum immediately.
What was the name again?
Dr. Robert Carroll.
1 moment, please.
It'll be a minute, Rick. What time is it?
Oh, 25 after. You got another phone here, George?
Yes, I've got several lines in the other office.
Good, I'll make a call. Let me know when you get Dr. Carroll on the line.
Operator, would you please hurry? I hate the use of the expression, but this is a matter of life and death.
You're on my line, Rick. Use the other phone. Yeah?
Otis?
Yeah. Where the devil are you? It's almost 11:30.
You talked to the lieutenant since I left?
Yeah, once. He wanted me to get out of the building.
No, you just stay put until I get there. I don't want Walt to try anything stupid.
Yeah, well, I want to know what you're doing.
I'm trying to get an idea, Otis. Just one little idea.
Trying to get an idea? I suppose you've been spending the last 20 minutes sitting in Central Park waiting for one to come to you.
Rick, come in here and pick up the other phone. I've got Dr. Carroll on the line.
Bye, Otis.
I've explained the situation to him. I won't interrupt him unless I think it's necessary.
Fine. Hello, Dr. Carroll?
Mr. Diamond?
That's right. Now, Doctor, I really don't know what good this is going to do, but tell me everything you know about Lewis Spence and as fast as possible.
Well, first of all, he's an aggressive paranoid with homicidal tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
He feels persecuted by society, or rather by those who help to govern society.
Why does he feel this way?
He believes in a great many things, all of which he thinks himself capable of achieving. Now, paranoiacs are frustrated to a point where they perhaps imagine themselves as capable artists or great scholars, such as in the case of Lewis Spence, society being his Judas goat.
Pardon me for interrupting, Bob, but don't you think Spence is capable of doing this sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely, George. You see, he's doing this whole thing purely because he enjoys the agony of it, but he's nonetheless ashamed.
But what about the mayor jumping off the city hall, Doctor? Just to be ridiculous for the moment, what if His Honor did jump? Would Spence then give up the bomb?
I doubt it. If the mayor jumped, it would give Spence a certain amount of satisfaction. But I still think he'd set the bomb off as a climax to his own cleverness and persecution.
Pardon again, Bob. Any usual therapy that you used on Spence?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Spence, as I've said, imagined himself a great talent. And he seemed to lean particularly toward the more artistic accomplishments, such as painting and music. In his quieter moments, we saw that he had a radio.
How does this music affect him, Bob?
He allows it to lull him into a sense of security. Sometimes even believes he's written it. You see, Mr. Diamond, he believes that his environment is against him, that it is trying to debase and degrade and persecute him. He fights off any acts of moral turpitude by becoming the thing he imagined.
Oh, I hate to break it up, boys, but it's 25 minutes to 12. I've got to leave. Thank you, Doctor.
I hope I've been some help.
Well, you've given me an idea anyway. Goodbye. Oh, miss.
Just a minute, just 1 minute. I'll be right with you.
Oh, look, I'm in a hurry.
You're in a hurry. So's everybody else. You'll have to wait until I'm through with this gentleman.
Sweetheart.
Now, look.
You look.
Oh, a badge.
Yeah, now, this is police business. Got to be in a hurry. Is that clock right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a quarter to 12.
16 minutes to.
All right, 16 minutes. You want to split hairs?
No, I want a portable phonograph and quick.
Okay, okay. Here's one right here on the counter. Three speeds, interchanging.
I'll take it.
Okay, I'll go back to the storeroom and get you a new one.
Forget it. I'll take this one.
Look, mister, we got a policy here. I can't say you're nothing off the counter, supposing it don't work when you get it home.
You'll hear about it.
You see, that's just what I mean.
Well, does it play now?
Certainly, like everything. Listen. Oh, boy, that's Pete Rugolo's new arrangement. He's crazy.
Okay, okay.
Don't dig it, huh?
Give me a record by Debussy or Ravel.
Oh, no wonder. Well, let's see, we got the Engulfed Cathedral by Debussy.
No, something with a little more excitement.
Oh, all right, I'll read them off. Debussy or Ravel?
Ravel.
La Waltz, I guess. And we got Bolero.
I'll take it.
Which one?
The Bolero.
Okay, I'll have to play it for you.
I've heard it.
So what? It's another policy of the store. There might be an imperfection.
Give me the record.
Hey, don't get so grabby.
Now, look, dear. You want me to have you locked up for obstructing justice?
Huh?
Well, unless you give me that record and this machine, this one right here, I'm going to snap the cuffs on you and haul you down to headquarters.
Oh.
You want me to do that?
Well, you can't.
All right. What's your name?
Well, take the machine and the record.
Thanks. And charge it to Lieutenant Walter Levinson, 5th Precinct, Homicide Division. If it works, you get paid. If it doesn't, don't even bother sending over a repairman.
Diamond, oh my gosh, you know what time it is.
What exactly?
Exactly 6 minutes to. What the devil you got there?
A photograph.
A phonograph?
You talked to Walt since I left?
No. Now what's the idea with a phonograph?
Hunch, Otis. Maybe we can save this whole mess.
Well, for Pete's sake, can I help?
Sure you can, Otis. Now take this machine in the other room and play this record. You know how it works?
Well, I can find out.
You got less than 5 minutes to find out, so make it good. I don't want to hear anything until you're ready to let it play all the way through.
Okay. Diamond.
Yeah, go on.
Whatever you're going to do, if I louse it up, I louse up everything, huh?
You won't louse it up, Otis.
Oh, I'm so stupid, but I'll try.
Otis.
Yeah?
You don't have to wind it, just plug it in.
Oh, yeah, I heard about them kind.
All right, then get going.
Okay.
Yeah?
Walt, it's Diamond.
What's up?
Careful, Lieutenant.
Oh, I'm getting sick of this.
Walt!
Yeah?
Relax, I want to come in.
How about it, Spence?
By all means. Have Mr. Diamond come in.
All right, Rick.
You have some news for me, Mr. Diamond?
Well, in a way, yes. Mind if I sit down?
Not at all.
How do you feel, Walt?
Dandy.
I'm afraid the lieutenant is growing uncomfortable. It is getting late, isn't it, Lieutenant?
Rick, I want you out of this building. This crackpot is...
What?
Oh, wait a minute now.
What did you
wait
call
a minute.
Me?
Now, look, I've taken
what
enough...
What difference does it make now at 12 o'clock?
Well, sure it does.
Why?
Because the mayor may jump.
What?
Yes, he's locked himself in his office. They can't get him out. He just may jump.
Really, Mr. Diamond?
Well, what's the matter?
I know the mayor won't jump, no matter how many people die when I release this trigger. I just want him to have to face it the rest of his life. I want everyone like me that his kind won't let fulfill their potential talents to realize what a Judas he really is. What all men like him really are.
Well, you know, that makes sense.
Don't try to get on the good side of me, Mr. Diamond. I know what you think about me. I know what you all think. It doesn't make good sense to you or anyone else. How could it? You don't understand those of us who have a truly great talent.
Well, I'll buy that. I don't understand it.
Of course not.
Well, maybe he doesn't, Spence, but how do you know? Maybe I do.
Stop playing, Mr. Diamond. Look at the time. 5 minutes. 5 minutes and I become a martyr. We'll all get blown to kingdom come.
Rick, get out of here.
All right, Spence, I'm going to prove you're wrong.
Rick, for the love of...
Shut up, Walt.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Diamond. What are you going to prove?
I'm going to prove that I know more about you than you think.
Of course you know a lot about me. Criminals have records.
Oh, I don't mean that. I mean more about yourself. What you think, your talents.
What do I think, Mr. Diamond? You fool. How could you know what I think?
Because a talent like yours is easy to spot.
4 minutes, Mr. Diamond.
No, it's not hard to tell about people like you.
People like me? What about people like me?
Well, Spence, I meant that, well, there are not many of them there. They're few and far between. They're gifted.
What?
Certainly. There's something you have that very few are lucky enough to be gifted with.
Rick, please.
Nearly 12, Mr. Diamond.
I can tell that you are an artist, Spence.
An artist?
Yes, and a very good one.
How do you know this?
Very few people spot it. Do they, Spence?
Very few. You surprise me, Mr. Diamond.
He surprises me, too.
Walt, keep quiet.
Yes, Walt, keep quiet. It's 11:58, Mr. Diamond. You can leave because maybe you have been honest with me. Perhaps you do recognize something that...
What's the matter, Spence?
Music.
Music? I don't hear anything.
Music. Beautiful music.
Well, I don't hear a thing, Spence. Do you, Walt?
No.
Oh, you must hear it. It's beautiful. Don't you hear that wonderful rhythm?
Now, you see, Spence, we're not as lucky as you are.
No, no, no one is. This is my music. This is what I would write if it wasn't for the people who won't let me.
What does the music sound like?
Oh, poet's words. The power and strength of death.
It makes you imagine things, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, oh, yes.
You hear the music and you become powerful. Like making that bomb. Not just anybody could think of that. It takes genius.
You understand. You do understand.
Well, of course I do, but I'm still amazed. There you sit with the power of life and death in your hands, and no one can do a thing. It must be wonderful.
It is. Like the music, it's wonderful. In seconds, we'll all be torn from our earthly bonds, taken away from this dirty, filthy world to a place of clean, wonderful things like that music.
No, but you're an artist. How could you ever take a thing like that bomb and put it together?
A thing like this bomb? Oh, this is a masterpiece.
Just looks like a small box to me.
Oh, it took me weeks. Just a small box. Oh, no, you see, if my finger relaxes...
Yeah, I know about that.
But this took genius. It's not just relaxing my finger. It's how I put it together so as to get the required result. It's like the hammer action on a gun, but it's reversed.
Well, I'll be darned. You mean when you release your finger, that makes the hammer fall?
I can see you appreciate things of genius. I wish you could hear the music too, Mr. Diamond. You'd really appreciate that. It's so wonderful.
Well, tell me more about the bomb. When you release your finger and the hammer falls, what does it hit?
Well, that's a simple part. I'm surprised at you.
I just wanted to hear you tell me. After all, you invented it.
Yes. It strikes a cap. It's that simple. Simplicity can be beautiful. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Listen to that music. It builds and builds.
Tell me, Spence, what would happen if something got in the way of the hammer? I mean, between the hammer and the cap.
Nothing can. There's nothing big enough in the box that the hammer wouldn't tear right through. Simplicity, Mr. Diamond.
I'd sure like to take a look at it.
Of course. There's nothing you can do. So by all means, look.
Well, you've got glass over the end of the box.
That's right. See my finger on the trigger? If I release it, that hammer falls and strikes that cap.
Why the glass?
So I could look in when I set it and see that everything was all right.
Oh, that's very clever.
That music is getting so big, I can't think. What time is it?
Plenty of time, Spence.
Yes, yes. When the music finishes.
It's nearly done now.
I thought you said you couldn't hear it.
It's a phonograph from the other room, Spence.
What?
Tell me, Spence, what happens if I jam my hand through that glass between the hammer and the cap?
What? That music! That music!
Grab him, Walt, grab him.
I got him! Let me go! Honest, don't let it stand, you cheated.
Honest.
You did lie, you did lie. Let me go.
Well, that does it. Otis, take him away.
With pleasure.
And you, Rick.
Yeah?
How'd you know that music at work? How'd you know you could stop that hammer? How'd you know you wouldn't...
Oh.
Did you hurt your hand?
Well, of all the...
Well, did you?
No.
Well, all right.
You just bet it is. Goodbye.
Hi.
Rick, what are you doing here?
Well, now, that's nice.
stop by my place some afternoon and see what kind of a welcome you get.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant, what are you doing here so early?
Well, things were getting boring. I thought I might come over and beat you up or something.
Oh, now isn't that sweet? Oh, Rick, what in the world have you...
Hmm? Oh, the hand? Oh, it's nothing.
I know, Red Heart, but what did you do to it?
Well, I kind of hurt it.
Yes, I can see that, but how?
Playing the piano.
Oh, how could you hurt your hand playing the piano?
Well, you know how I live my songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, truthfully, I was singing The Brother of the Wild Goose. And I got to that part about a wandering foot or a heart at rest. And while I was trying to make up my mind, my heart was resting, but my foot wandered up on the keyboard and stepped on my hand.
And stepped on your hand.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, yeah.
Well, I think you've got that bandage on just so you won't have to sing anything.
Honey, have you ever seen me not want to sing?
Well, sometimes it's a struggle.
I don't even know whether I can play or not.
Well, why don't you find out?
After lunch.
Before lunch.
Before lunch. Well, maybe I don't need that finger.
Go on.
Love is a flower that blooms so tender. Each kiss a dewdrop of sweet surrender. Love is a moment of life enchanting. Let's take that moment that tonight is granting. There's no tomorrow when love is new. Now is forever when love is true. So kiss me and hold me tight. There's no tomorrow. There's just tonight.
You like that?
So pretty.
Thank you.
Oh, that reminds me. We're having spaghetti for lunch.
Oh, good.
So kiss me and hold me tight. There's no tomorrow. There's just tonight.
That was nice. Now, tell me, how did you hurt your hand?
Simple. I was grabbing.
Grabbing?
Mm-hmm. Like this. Come here.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, of all times. Hello.
Hello.
Walt?
Yeah, I just thought I'd call and...
Oh, you did you? Well, you sure picked a nifty time to do it.
Oh, did I bust up something?
Yes, you did bust up something.
Well, you don't have to get sore.
Well, who's sore?
I am. That's the last time I let you do me any favor.
Okay. If that's the way you feel about it, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, what in the world was all that about?
Oh, well, honey, you see, it's like this. Walt got in some trouble, and I helped him out of it. No, you see, I don't want him to feel obligated. But, well, that's not actually it. He doesn't want me to know how he really feels. What am I trying to explain it for? I don't understand it myself.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Ed Begley played Lieutenant Walt Levinson. Also in the cast were Wilms Herbert, Francis Robinson, Stanley Waxman, Cynthia Corley, and Paul DeBob. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Today's show was written by Blake Edwards and directed by Russell Hughes. Dick Powell currently may be seen in the motion picture version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. This is Eddie King inviting you to be with us next Sunday at the same time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
from March 5th, 1950 on NBC, episode 44 of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, The Lewis Spence Case, Dick Powell, Our Star. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our blog and website for much more info about the show, including detailed program playlists and streaming audio of complete episodes. qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you'd like the playlist or streaming audio for this episode, please look for Upstate Radio Theater show number 1924. We have some classic comedy to conclude this hour of old-time radio, as we have an episode of The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone as Henry Aldrich, the typical all-American teenage boy. This broadcast is from fairly early on in the series, and even at this early stage, the series had a sponsor, Jell-O Pudding. From October 17th of 1939 on NBC, here is program number 16 of The Aldrich Family, Girl Trouble.
Family, written by Clifford Goldsmith, featuring the Broadway stars Ezra Stone and this week's special guest, Betty Field. Brought to you by Jell-O Puddings, those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. The Aldrich Family arrived on Broadway this week in the hilarious, successful Paramount picture, What a Life. It's truly a four-bell movie, and we urge you all to see it. Tonight, we are pleased to present one of the stars of the motion picture, Miss Betty Field, who will play Barbara Pearson, Henry's sweetheart. As usual, the part of Henry Aldrich is played by Ezra Stone. The scene opens in Barbara's home. It is early evening.
Grandma? Grandmother?
What do you have, Barbara?
Henry Aldrich hasn't come yet, has he?
Just a minute, and I'll ask your father.
No, he hasn't, Barbara.
First time this week he hasn't been here.
Father, could you come here a minute?
Where are you?
I'm here in the front hall.
Well, well, what is it this time, Barbara?
Now listen, Father. Yes? I don't want Grandmother to hear me.
Why don't you want me to?
Oh, no reason. Father.
Yes?
When Henry comes, would you do something for me?
Well, what is it?
I know it's awful, but I've got it all planned. I found out today Henry is seeing an awful lot of Constance Marshall.
Who told you?
Constance herself did.
I see.
But Father, I've even seen them together.
Charles, where's that box of candy we had around here last night?
I haven't any idea.
Father, when Henry does come, would you mind stepping into the room just once or twice and saying George Bigelow wants to speak to me on the telephone?
Well,
you will, Father, won't you?
I'm just a bit surprised, Barbara.
But Father, it wouldn't be so terrible, would it? Don't you think I'm human?
Barbara, I still think it'd be much better if you got your grandmother mixed up in this.
But, Daddy, Grandmother wouldn't approve of it. You know she wouldn't.
And exactly what makes you think I do?
It's for Henry's own good, Father. Constance Marshall is so silly.
Barbara, young ladies don't go about deliberately making young men jealous.
Oh, but they do. I beg to differ with you.
Well, sir, I'd give my eye teeth for a piece of that candy. Still had my eye teeth. Charles, somebody's at the front door.
Please say yes, Father.
Well, I'll think it over.
That's practically yes. Tell Henry I'll be right down.
Well, how do you do, young man?
How do you do, Mr. Pearson? How are you this evening?
Splendid.
And how is Mrs. Sanderson?
She's splendid.
No, she's not either. My digestion's terrible.
Is that you in there, Mrs. Sanderson?
Charles, tell Barbara Henry's here. I've been asking all evening where Henry is.
Has she?
No, I haven't either, Grandmother.
I had to stop for a second and see somebody on the way over, Barbara.
Oh. Do you want to put your hat in that package down?
I'll put my hat down, but I think I'll keep the package.
Don't you trust us, Henry?
Oh, I don't mind holding it. It only weighs 2 pounds.
What's in it?
Oh, just a little something. Well, Mr. Pearson, how do you find business?
Very good, Henry.
You know, my father was saying...
Will you excuse me just a moment, Henry?
That's all right.
Henry, I went over to my doctor's today.
Is that right?
And I can't eat one blessed thing.
Is that right?
And I can't remember when I went to sleep last.
Hello, Henry.
Oh, hello.
Well.
Here's a package for you. Be careful when you take it. It weighs 2 pounds.
You shouldn't have done this, Henry.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
All right. Who did you drop in to see on your way over, Henry?
Nobody in particular.
It wasn't Constance Marshall, was it?
Well, all she wanted me to do was drop in and say hello.
Oh. She's a nice girl.
Barbara?
Yes, Father?
You're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
It sounded like George Bigelow.
George Bigelow? Again? Oh. Will you excuse me, Henry?
Sure.
You mean you're going without opening it?
I'll be right back.
Certainly strange. I didn't hear that phone ring.
Mrs. Sanderson, did Mr. Pearson say George Bigelow?
He did.
George Bigelow. Tell me, what do you honestly think of George?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't think of him at all.
Oh.
What do you think of him?
Oh, you can't get me to say anything against him.
Very honorable of you. You know, I said to Barbara only the other day, young lady, I said, I hope you appreciate what kind of a young man Henry Aldrich really is.
Is that right?
Oh, my, yes.
And what did she say?
I forget now.
Oh.
Well, I certainly hope George doesn't call again.
George fine?
He's very fine.
Glad to hear that.
Certainly wish I could say as much about myself.
Don't you think you'd feel better if you went up to bed, Grandmother?
When are you going to open that candy?
I'm opening it. Candy, Grandmother?
Hmm. Well, just two.
Candy, Henry?
Oh, I didn't even know you were there. Thank you.
Very good. Even if they do have enough.
Shall we step out onto the front porch, Barbara?
No. Don't go out there and catch pneumonia, right? The prime of your lives.
Well, couldn't Barbara put on a coat, maybe?
Oh, Barbara.
Yes, Father?
Telephone. I think it's George Bigelow again.
My goodness. I guess he just thinks I don't have anything else to do. Excuse me, Henry.
I must be getting deaf. Henry, do you hear any phone ring?
No, ma'am.
What's the matter with you?
With I?
Whatever it is. Why don't you do something about it?
Well, what is there I can do?
What's worth having is worth having, ain't it?
You mean I ought to pound the daylights out of George?
Well, either out of him or out of Barbara.
How?
Well, anything you can lay your hands on. That reminds me. Hand me that candy.
But gee, if Barbara likes George, I don't see how socking him is going to help any.
It'll certainly make you feel better, won't it?
Even if he's older than I am?
Listen, young man. I used to be as pretty as any of them in my day, and I know all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, did you used to fight?
When the occasion demanded it, yes. Hey, are these all caramels?
No, ma'am.
Now, let me tell you something. If you want to make her sit up and take notice, only way to do is to make her jealous.
You mean, when she comes into the room, I don't pay any attention to her. I just sit and talk to you.
Well, is that the way they do it in the movies?
You mean I should make her think I like somebody else?
No, I'm telling you. Not as a grandmother, but as one soldier to another. Get busy and get busy quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Here. Want to eat the half of this one? It's got nuts in it.
My goodness. George Bigelow. He wants to give me his class pin. Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, I'm late as it is.
Where are you going?
No place. I just told Connie when I dropped in I'd be right back.
Oh. I'm sorry I didn't tell George he could come over.
No, why don't you call him back?
Well, of course. Maybe I will.
If his phone ain't wore out.
Henry, what's that you're putting on the lapel of your coat?
Nothing. Just a pin of Connie she asked me to wear.
Where'd she get it?
Her mother had it first. It's an old family heirloom.
Let me see what it says. Vote the temp Democratic ticket.
Yeah, the whole family comes from a long line of Democrats.
Oh. I'm sorry you have to go, Henry.
Well, maybe I can stay.
I'm telling you, Henry Aldrich, you're making the mistake of your life.
But
Grandmother, I don't think we should force him to go.
Henry?
Well, I guess I have to go, Barbara. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
I don't suppose we'll see very much of you from now on, will we?
Why not? Oh, yeah. I guess as time goes on, you won't. Well.
Barbara, you're wanted on the telephone.
Who is it?
You better go to George.
It's Constance Marshall. She's over at somebody's house and wants you to come over.
Is that right?
Oh, I'll answer it in just a minute.
Who is this Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall is nothing but an NTS.
What's an NTS?
NTS is necktie straightener. Every boy she meets, she has to straighten right away.
Charles, who is Constance Marshall?
Constance Marshall's father is one of the most active Republicans in this state.
Is that right?
I think I'll be going.
I know what you're going to do, Henry Aldrich. You're not going to Connie's house at all.
But I am.
Oh, no, you aren't. You're really going to some other girl's house. I hope whoever she is, you have an awful time there.
But listen.
No, I won't. I hate you, Henry Aldrich.
Young man, get out of this house.
But, Mrs. Sanderson...
And don't you ever darken this doorway again with chocolates filled with nuts and raisins. Get out!
Yes, ma'am.
Hiya, Constance.
Where are you going?
No place, just to the grocery store.
Henry Aldridge, look at your necktie.
I know it's crooked. I wear my tie like that purposely.
Please let Constance help you.
Not so tight. Do you want to strangle me?
How do you do, Henry Aldridge?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, Mrs. Sanderson?
How do you do, young lady?
Where are you going?
I'm going to the doctor's.
Would you like to have me walk a long part way with you?
Oh, do you have to go now, well, Henry?
Gee, I'm late as it is.
Tell you what I wish you'd do, Henry. Stay right where you are.
Here?
Yes, sir. Barbara'll be along just a minute or so. Wish you'd tell her where I've gone.
But my mother's waiting for the groceries.
Do you want Barbara to walk the streets of this town looking for me? Now, you stay right here, as I tell you to. And you, young lady, you stay here and see he does.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Sanderson.
And you tell her if I'm out at the doctor's, I'll be right across the street from there getting a bag of candy.
Henry Aldridge, look at your hair.
Listen, Constance.
You know, you could be one of the cutest boys I've ever known.
Cute? I'm cute? How do you think I'm cute?
Oh, Henry, you've got the cutest lock of hair right up there.
What's the matter with it?
Every time I push it down, it goes right up. Oh, look at it. Down, up, down, up.
How do you do, Henry?
Where did you come from, Barbara?
No place.
Your grandmother wanted me to tell you she's gone to the doctor's.
I know where she is.
Oh, well, what did she want us to wait here and tell you for?
I should like to add, Henry Aldrich, that you are certainly making a spectacle of yourself out here in the street.
I am?
No self-respecting person would have his hair combed by a girl right out in public.
Listen, Barbara, I'll have you know I'll have my hair combed wherever I want.
And what George Bigelow said about you is absolutely true.
What did he say about me?
Never mind. He said, I hope sometime he tells you what he said.
Well, what do you know about that? Gee, was anybody think I'd struck her?
Henry, if I were you, I'd never speak to her again.
Oh, I hope you don't think I'm going to speak to her again.
Henry, would you like to come over to my house tonight?
Gee whiz, I'd be glad to. I'd be glad to. I think it would do me good.
Now, before Henry Aldrich comes back, I want to say that if you happen to have an active, growing boy in your family, I know one thing. I know that you're kept plenty busy feeding that boy, because youngsters that age are always hungry, always on the lookout for something good to eat. Well, now, here's a dessert that every boy, and girl too, will say is a real smoothie. The new Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding. It has a swell, tempting color like gold-colored taffy. It's smooth and luscious, and it just can't be beat for real flavor. As rich and delicious as old-fashioned butterscotch candy. Jell-O butterscotch puddings bring you real, downright homemade goodness. And best of all, it's quick and easy to make. It takes you only a few minutes. There's no fuss or trouble. You just can't go wrong. Then try Jell-O chocolate pudding with that wonderful real chocolate goodness, smooth and satisfying. And Jell-O vanilla pudding, cream-colored and tempting, with nuts or fruits folded in to make it even more delicious. All three new Jell-O puddings have that homemade richness you love. So try them all. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding. Back at the Aldrich home, we find the whole family seated at the breakfast table. Everyone, that is, except Henry.
Henry! 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 Mary, do you know whether Henry's up yet?
He said he was getting up the first time you called.
Father!
What is it?
Father, will you please tell Mary that if she sees Connie Marshall go by to flag her?
Aren't you all dressed yet, Henry?
Practically, Mother.
My goodness, all Henry can think about is Constance Marshall.
How is it he never sees Barbara Pearson anymore?
Her grandmother won't let him near the house.
What's the trouble?
I don't know, except she said something about his going too far over something. And did I tell you about the picture I found under Henry's pillow?
Of whom? Barbara's grandmother?
Of Connie Marshall. And down in the corner it said, Constance to others, but constantly to Henry. Doesn't that make you positively ill, Mother?
Please pass the salt.
This whole business is something I shall never understand.
Oh, forget it. By next week he'll be over the whole thing.
Mother!
Yes, Henry?
Have you any idea where my trousers might be?
I thought you were all dressed.
I am, Father. All but my trousers. They seem to be missing.
Where did you wear them last?
I think it was when I went to the movies.
Don't tell me you left your trousers at the movies.
Wear your brown trousers, dear.
My brown trousers? But Mother Connie doesn't like those.
She even tells him what clothes to wear. The next thing you know, they'll be announcing their engagement.
It may be of interest for you to know that this is not one bit funny.
But Mother, I think it would be all right with Constance.
How do you know?
I heard her tell Henry only the other day that she believes in long engagements.
Well, this would have to be a good long one because Henry still has a year and a half of high school and 6 years of college before he even begins to practice law.
She may even talk him out of becoming a lawyer.
Mary, you certainly are cheerful this morning.
Mother, look out through the window. Look at what I see.
Constance Marshall.
Constance Marshall?
She even comes here for breakfast now.
Well, they selected a very excellent name for that child.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
I wondered whether you'd like to have me walk to school with you.
Come on in, Constance.
I guess you know my father, don't you?
How do you do?
How do you do?
My goodness, Mr. Aldridge, you look like Henry.
I?
Only, of course, an awful lot older.
Yes.
Shall we start now, Constance?
Has Henry left yet?
Not yet.
Where is he?
We have no idea where he is.
You mean, Mr. Aldridge, Henry has left home?
Apparently he has.
Constance, Henry's upstairs.
We only think he's upstairs. No one in the family has seen him. We have simply heard sounds that might have come from Henry.
Henry! Henry!
You see? What did I tell you?
Is somebody calling me?
There's somebody down here to see you.
Who is it, Mother?
Oh, somebody.
You mean to see me?
Yes.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Stinky Cameron. Hi, Stinky.
Henry.
I'll be down just as soon as I find my pants.
Henry, it's not Stinky. And even if it were, I don't think you should call him that.
Oh, he doesn't mind. No, you're Stinky.
Henry.
Father Thompson, come on up and help me find my pants.
Henry, you're disgracing the entire family.
In fact, it might interest you to know that Constance is down here.
Yeah? So's General Grant.
Hello, Henry.
Well, gee whiz, where did you come from, Connie?
Home.
Well, why didn't anybody tell me? I'll be right down.
Henry, have you got your trousers on?
Oh, no, I'm glad you spoke about that. Excuse me.
You better be starting, Constance.
Oh, we've got loads of time, Mary.
Not unless you want to be as late as Henry is. Goodbye, Mother. Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Mr. Aldridge.
Goodbye. Charming young woman.
Oh, my goodness, Sam, I hope he'll get over it.
You must remember, however, that someday somebody is going to marry that young woman.
But it certainly isn't going to be Henry.
It would be just our luck to have it be Henry.
Wait for me, Mary. Wait for me.
They've left, Henry.
They've left without me?
Well, of course.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Come back here and eat your breakfast.
But, Mother, do you want me to run right on top of a hearty meal?
I want you to come back to this table.
Where did you find your trousers?
That's the strangest part of it. I found them on a chair in my room.
On a chair?
Yeah.
Henry, where did you meet this Constance?
I was a fine young tour.
Henry, don't you think you should swallow your food before you talk?
Yes, Mother. I'll answer you in just a minute, Father. There. I was assigned next to her.
In what way?
My seat. My seat in assembly.
Oh, I see.
Why were you asking?
I was just wondering, what does her father do?
He's an examiner.
He's a what?
Just a minute. He's an exterminator.
An exterminator?
No matter what you have, even if it's rats, you call him and he'll get rid of them.
Henry.
That's right, Mother. He'll get rid of any kind of pest there is.
He has never shown any disfavor toward his daughter?
Don't you like Constance?
Henry, in the past, your father and I have always permitted you to know anyone you wanted to. But somehow we don't care for this Connie.
Why not, Mother?
Well, putting it bluntly, you're much too nice for her.
Oh, Mother, don't be absurd. Well, until she came along, I didn't care how I looked. Now look at me. Remember that bunch of hair that always used to stand up? Now I keep it combed down.
And to tell you the truth, I miss that lock of hair. I miss it very much.
You don't think I look improved?
Oh, Henry, dear, when are you coming to your senses?
In what way, Mother?
Well, for 1 week now, you haven't touched your homework. You can't eat your meals.
Well,
I
don't need food.
Whatever became of Barbara Pearson?
Barbara Pearson.
Of course.
Well, she was all right when I was young, Mother.
You grew old 7 days ago?
I certainly changed since then.
In what way, aside from putting Vaseline on your hair?
In a lot of ways, Father.
Well, just remember, son, we wouldn't have you lose your head for anything. Is that clear?
Yes, Father.
Now run on to school.
Yes, sir. Only you've got the wrong idea about Constance.
I'm quite sure one of us has.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So long.
Sam Aldrich, I'm worried sick.
Oh, Alice, you're worrying about something that's absurd.
Sam, I didn't want to say anything about it before. I usually don't read anything that belongs to Henry, but I picked up a note Constance wrote him, and Sam, she isn't his kind.
Why didn't you tell me there was more to it?
Well, what I want to know is what we should do.
Give him some castor oil and send him to bed.
Well, that's what I thought you'd say. I know what I am going to do.
What?
I'm going to handle this the way the psychologists say a parent should.
Now, Alice, if I were you, I wouldn't start fooling around with psychology at a time like this.
But it's common sense, Sam. If we forbid his seeing the girl, it's simply a challenge. So the thing for us to do is to tell him that he may see her just as much as he wants to.
Which is what he's doing anyhow.
But we should invite her to dinner, Sam.
Invite her here to dinner?
Well, of course. If he sees enough of her, he'll grow tired of her.
You hope he will.
I'm sure he will. And on next Saturday night, we're having her and some of his other friends here for dinner.
Hiya, Connie.
Henry, do you like my dress?
Yeah, it's very pretty. I've got to see who's at the door.
Oh, I let them in. It was George Bigelow and some other girls.
Oh.
Henry, let Connie straighten your tie.
You always yank it so tight. The other night, I had to go to sleep with it on.
Oh. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Aldrich?
How do you do, Constance? We're very glad you could come.
How do you do?
You'll find my family in the living room. Papa has to leave early.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He's got to go on a big job for somebody.
You don't say so.
This is the third time he's been there. He just nicely gets them out, and they always come back.
Sam, come along.
Henry, wait and talk to Connie.
Yeah, I've got to go and see my guests.
Are they more important than poor little I?
No, but I ought to go in and say hello to them.
Henry, look at me. Oh, you've got the bluest eyes Connie has ever seen in her life.
Yeah? Oh. Excuse me for interrupting.
Oh.
Got something in your eye, Henry? Gee whiz, Mrs. Sanderson.
Hello, Henry.
Henry, you didn't tell me Barbara was coming.
No.
Well, I understood this party was for me. I'm going in the other room and tell your mother what I think of it, Henry Aldrich.
Henry, I know I shouldn't have come. Even if your mother did say I should.
But I'm glad to have you. I'm glad to have both of you. No, I'm not staying. I just came to make sure she got here. Where's your mother? In the next room. I'll just slip in and say hello. See whether maybe there's a little candy around.
Well, I see Constance has been fixing your tie again.
How can you tell?
It looks so nice. Doesn't look like you.
No?
When I came in, she was just going to straighten your eyes for you, I guess, wasn't she?
Listen, Barbara, please.
Henry, would you mind very much if I went home?
Henry, aren't you going to come in and join your guests?
Yes, Father, we're coming.
George Bigelow says he hasn't even seen you.
George Bigelow? Henry, I can't go in there.
Why not?
Because I can't. Please let me go, Henry.
But I want you to stay.
Henry, I've got to tell you. Those telephone calls I had from George, they weren't from George at all.
Well, who were they from?
Nobody. I just did it to make you jealous.
Was that your grandmother's idea?
No. It was mine. Wasn't it ridiculous?
Barbara, come in here. They got cakes with every kind of icing you can think of.
No.
Henry, your mother wants you.
I'll be there.
She wants you now, right away.
Yeah, but can't she wait a second?
No. Now then, young lady, if you want Henry Aldridge, you will stay here where you can keep an eye on him.
I'm not going to stay.
You want to upset me even more than I already am?
I can't help it. I'm going home.
Barbara, wait.
No.
Well, you've got to come in, dear. It wouldn't be a party without you.
Why not?
For any number of reasons.
But look at my eyes. They're a sight.
Tears, my dear, only make you prettier. I know from experience.
Do you really think so?
Been asleep yet?
Of course.
I've been thinking about that party. I and you said I didn't understand psychology.
Well, I didn't say that. I said you were taking a gamble.
Just think, we won't have to worry about that awful Constance Marshall or the idea of Henry's ever giving up law or getting engaged before he leaves high school.
Oh, yes, sure. Things usually work out for the best.
Provided you give him a little assistance. By the way, have you heard Henry come in yet?
Don't believe I have.
Oh, my goodness, what time is it?
It's, by the clock on the bureau, it's 2:10.
Sam Aldridge, Henry has never stayed out this late before in his life.
I thought you weren't going to worry anymore.
Oh!
Henry, is that you?
Yes.
Where have you been, Henry?
No place. I just walked home with Barbara, and then I had to wait until her grandmother went to bed.
Come in here and say goodnight to us.
I want to thank you for the swell party. Barbara said she had a very nice time.
Sit down here on the edge of the bed.
Henry, you're sitting right on my ankle.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't know it was there.
Where did you think it would be?
Henry, move your head over toward the light from the door.
What for?
Oh, Henry, I could almost cry.
Why?
That old lock of hair. It's standing straight up again.
Yeah. She lets me wear my necktie so I can breathe, too. Mother, would you mind my asking right from the shoulder?
What, dear?
Well, would you and Father be disappointed if I didn't study 6 years to become a lawyer?
Why not?
Oh, no particular reason, Father. I was just asking.
Henry Aldridge, you aren't thinking of getting married, are you?
Oh, no, Mother, no. We think you should wait until you're at least through high school. Don't you?
Well, Alice, you certainly understand psychology.
Barbara?
Yes, Henry?
Are you sure your grandmother's gone to bed?
Thank heavens she has.
Well, do you mind my asking you something?
What is it, Henry?
Well, would you like to go to a football game with me Saturday?
Of course I would, Henry.
If you go, Henry, I give you the money to get a seat for me.
Well, Grandma's in again, but be sure to tune in again next week for further adventures of Henry Aldridge. The Aldridge Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith. Tonight's special guest was Betty Field, star of the stage and screenplay What a Life, and she'll be back with us again next week. Original music is composed and conducted by Jack Miller. Harry Von Zell speaking and wishing you good night for those delicious new desserts all America's talking about. Jell-O pudding.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From October 17, 1939 on NBC, Episode 16 of the long-running radio sitcom The Aldrich Family. Ezra Stone, our star, with special guest Betty Field. Girl Trouble, also known as Date Mix-Up. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed my selections. Please join me again when you can for more classic sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.